His eyes closed slightly.
You messing with me, Jojo?
Maybe.
She winks.
You guys are too much.
They're in love,
Caitlin says mockingly.
Oh, yeah? Are you suddenly in love with the stiff there?
A nod to the guy behind her. He doesn't hear me, which is a shame. Caitlin's face falls, and I instantly feel like an ass.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
I turn and walk away.
Do you think you should drive?
Caitlin yells at my back. What do you care? I'm shoved from behind. I turn to find the pint-sized Caitlin glaring at me. Her face is red, jaw clenched.
You're an ass!
I think about the proper thing to say back to her, but nothing comes to mind. What I want to do is pick her up and carry her off into the trees and show her how much of an ass I can be. I shake my head and turn back to my bike.
I'm talking to you!
Oh, you are?
I shout as I close the gap between us. I hadn't realized you were speaking to me again. Caitlin crosses her arms over her chest, which just makes things worse for me.
You what? Never mind.
Right. I walk back to my bike and get on. I let the engine roar, spinning the throttle more than necessary. I slide my helmet over my do-rag and fasten my chin strap. I rev the engine one more time before letting it idle.
You want a ride, Caitlin? Want to feel what it's like to take a ride with me? To have your legs wrapped around my waist?
You're an ass, Harrison James.
So you've said, sweetheart.
I don't give her an opportunity to respond. I peel out of the field with dirt blowing in my wake. That woman frustrates me to no end.
Chapter 18. Caitlin. How are you? Fine, I reply. My hands are folded neatly in my lap. My ankles are crossed the way my mother taught me. Although, if she knew I was sitting in an old wingback chair under the scrutiny of a therapist, she'd be mortified.
How are the girls?
Fine, I say again, much to the dismay of Dr. Feelgood, who's really Dr. Brooks, but was dubbed Feelgood by Liam back in high school because of the way his mom acted after she visited him. Dr. Brooks sets down his pen and swivels back and forth in his chair.
Caitlin, this is your third visit, and each time I ask you a question, everything is fine.
He leans forward and rests his folded hands in front of him. I break eye contact. The threadbare carpet is in dire need of changing after years and years of pacing. I should know. I paced the first day. Everything is fine, I say, shrugging my shoulders. I know he can see right through me. He's trained for this shit.
If that was the case, you wouldn't be sitting across from me, wasting your hard-earned money.
When I look up, he knows he's called my bluff. He picks up again, smiling as he does so.
Why are you here, Caitlin?
My fingers pick at the bronze tack holding the fabric to the chair. I don't know, really. I stop and take a deep breath. I've told myself I won't cry, that I'm strong and can do this. He's here to help. I feel like I'm going in circles with everything.
Let's start with the girls. How are they adjusting?
I shake my head and reach for a tissue. Elle is doing fine. She seems to be adjusting well and has sort of attached herself to Harrison. But Peyton, she is acting out, and I don't know what to do to help her. I know she misses Mason. We all do. But she's taking it hard. Liam helps, but...
It's not the same?
No, it's not.
Now, who's Harrison?
I shift uncomfortably in my chair. He's the drummer in Liam's band. I started working for them and we just came off tour. He and Elle hit it off.
Does that make you uncomfortable?
No, he's good to her and she likes him. He is. There's no doubting this. Watching them together in Disney World was a sight I never wanted to see. But couldn't help and stare. The way he treated her, like she walked on water. It showed me a different Harrison.
But?
But what? I don't purposely mean to be obtuse, but I'm not giving any answers that require me to think too hard.
Your body language is suggesting otherwise.
Do I tell him how he makes me feel? Is this where I let all my feelings out on the table and he dissects them for me and tells me what I need to do? Harrison and I shake my head and bite my tongue from speaking out. We've agreed to keep things professional. He nods and writes something else down. I wonder if I get a copy of these notes when we're all said and done. You know, like a parting gift of some sort.
Harrison and Elle get along?
I nod.
What about him and Peyton? It's important that he likes both girls.
We're not together, I reply, correcting his assumption.
Okay,
he says with more scribbling. He's good with Peyton, but she prefers Liam.
Have you thought about an after-school program or something at the community center that she can be involved with?
No, I haven't. Will that help? My voice is full of desperation. He looks up briefly before returning his focus to the paper.
It might, but I'd also like to see the girls, too, individually, and the three of you together. We can figure out what's going to work and get you all talking.
Okay.
Now tell me about you.
What about me?
It's been a year. Have you thought about dating?
I glare at him. How does he know that dating is even an option? Small-town gossip is going to be the death of me, I swear. Is a year some predetermined mourning period?
No, but your hostility tells me that you're interested in someone.
I am not. I break my gaze from him and look down at my hands. They're clutched, my nails digging into my palms. I can't...
Why not?
I roll my eyes. It wouldn't work. He's not my type.
There is no type when it comes to love, Caitlin.
Sure there is. I love Mason, and this man, he's nothing like Mason. Dr. Brooks leans forward.
Are you trying to replace Mason?
What? I scoff. No, that's absurd. No one can replace him. Why would you ask me something like that? His hand moves his pen across the paper. It sounds like a bird walking across the desk. I sit up and try to make out what he's writing down, but his arm moves to cover my angle.
Finding someone to spend time with doesn't mean you have to fall in love. It means you have companionship. Someone you can lean on and who understands and accepts what you're going through. This person can be a friend or a lover. The important thing is not to let the passing of Mason close you off from what you need. Everyone needs someone, Caitlin.
He pushes his chair and walks over with a tissue extended to me. I didn't even know tears had fallen. What if he's right? What if I can let someone in and still love Mason?
I'll see you next week.
He sets his hand on my shoulder.
It gets better, if you allow it.
My heart starts beating rapidly as soon as I hear the mower start. I don't know why he's here. After last night, the way he acted, I thought he'd bail on me. I close the photo album and slide it under the couch. I don't know why. It's not like I plan to invite him in. I never do. I'm not even sure he'd come in after yesterday. But if he did, and I'm not saying he would, but maybe he needs to use the bathroom, I don't want him seeing me sitting here pining over my dead husband. I lean forward a bit to peer out the sliding glass door, but don't see him. Each time he starts in a different place. Mason always started in the back. He'd mow in a square, moving the girls' toys out of the way each time. My yard is no longer mowed in a square, but straight lines. I know this because I've spied on him, even though I tell myself I need to stop. I need to focus on the girls and not the man who is mowing my lawn in place of my husband. Luck is not on my side today, because he's starting in the front, and my curtains are closed. If I had any nerve, I'd go throw them open and see what he's wearing. Not that I've seen him in anything except shorts, t-shirts, and a stupid beanie. If I had an ounce of courage, I'd rip the thing from his head before he could stop me so I could see what he's hiding. And why? Why is he hiding under those stupid things?
There is no type when it comes to love.
The words replay over and over in my head. What if Dr. Brooks is right? Can I be strong enough to let Harrison into my life without reservation? I don't know if I can. I also worry about what Mr. Powell would think. I know that my mother would never accept Harrison. He doesn't fit her stereotypical poster boy for her daughter. But my daddy, he wouldn't care, as long as I'm happy. I know I should talk to him, maybe offer him money for mowing my lawn twice a week. But last night I was a bitch to him, and he probably couldn't care less if we ever speak again. I hate myself for even thinking about his feelings. But I do, even if I can't admit it to anyone. As much as I want to, I can't turn off the way I feel when he's near. Peyton and Elle come running into the house. Peyton is covered in dirt. Elle looks prim and proper. This is typical, and it makes me miss life on the tour bus. Peyton didn't have mounds of dirt or grass to roll in and stain her clothes. Elle gives me a hug, picks up her book, and heads to her shared bedroom to read. I give Peyton one look, and she knows. She heads off to the bathroom, stomping and muttering under her breath. I don't know what I'm going to do with her. She's been more withdrawn since we returned. The only people she's willing to do anything with are Noah and Quinn. I was hoping that once school started, she'd settle down. But I'm afraid she's going to continue to struggle, and I don't know how to help her if I can't even help myself. It's been a year. I was hoping people would forget, but no such luck. The copious amount of flowers brought by Josie's delivery boy is evidence that we're at the forefront of everyone's thoughts. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. There's no guide instructing me how to act or feel, aside from being empty. We went to the cemetery with Mr. Powell, and that felt awkward. I couldn't be me with my father-in-law standing there. He wants to go out to dinner, but that feels wrong. Liam says Mason would want us to celebrate, and that means a night of childish antics at the tower. Not that I'm opposed to that, but Harrison will be there, and I'm not sure how much more I can handle. I'm tired of Liam and Josie telling me that Mason would want me to move on with someone who cares about me and the girls. I'm not buying it. Jenna suggested I visit a medium. She believes in the fates and kismet. Josie offered to go with me, but I'm afraid of what I'll find out. What if he's happy? Is that possible? I can't take the chance that Mason is okay with not being here with us anymore. Josie says I'm overreacting. I'm scared that she's right. What if the medium tells me things that I don't want to know? The sound of the mower near the back door brings me out of my reverie. My hand wipes at my cheek, only to find it dry. I've found that I'm crying less and less as the time gets farther away from the last time I kissed Mason. Now, we only kiss in dreams and memories, and those are starting to fade, too. Harrison comes into view. He's in a tank top today, showing off even more tattoos than I've seen before. He looks briefly toward the sliding glass door as he passes. It's hot out, and he's wearing that damn hat. Even last night he had something on his head. I step toward the door, my hand resting on the handle. Do I want to go out there and pretend I have something to clean? I look at my all-but-forgotten flower bed and see that the flowers need to be pruned. I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt, easily considered gardening clothes. I slide the door open and step out. The hot sun is beating down. We are in desperate need of rain. I step off my patio and onto the freshly cut grass. I'm tempted to take my shoes off to feel the coolness of the ground. I watch Harrison as he mows in almost even strips. This is a side of Harrison that separates him from the rock star that I know. I haven't told anyone this, but the bouquet he gave me at Christmas last year hangs in my closet. I can't bring myself to throw them out. Each time Harrison walks by, he's closer. His pattern has changed. Maybe he's done this every time he's out here and I just haven't noticed. I'm looking now, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to stop. There's something that pulls me to him. And as much as I don't want to admit it, he makes me feel, and not the same way that Mason did, but different. He shuts the mower off. He lifts his shirt, and I can see his toned stomach and the dark patch of hair extending into his shorts. I try not to stare, but I can't help it. He's beautiful in his own unique way. I know why women flock to him. He's easy on the eyes. He wipes the sweat from his forehead, his hand moving under that god-awful hat he's wearing. I'm starting to think he wears it just to piss me off. If he is, it's working. He's watching me, waiting to see if I'll run away. Maybe I need to heed Dr. Brooks's advice and find a companion. I'm just not sure Harrison is the one for me. There's too much that I can't wrap my head around where he's concerned. I take a step closer. He does the same thing. Both of us are taking steps until we're in front of each other. He stands so much taller than me that I have to look up at him.
I'm sorry about last night.
I didn't expect those words to come from him. His voice is soft. I can hear the remorse in his tone. Me too. I was out of line.
It happens.
Harrison and I stand close enough to be able to touch, both of us looking at each other. No words are exchanged, but I do smile and am rewarded with one of the most brilliant smiles I have ever seen. One that, if I'm not careful, I could get lost in for days. Mommy? Harrison's head snaps up before I can turn around. Peyton stands on the patio, with her hands on her hips. From the position of the sun, I can't see what her expression is, but I can only imagine that she's not happy. Hi, baby.
I'm not a baby.
I sigh. Harrison rests his hand on my back, and his thumb rubs small circles there. I'm surprised to find that it calms me. I'm sorry, Peyton.
I'm hungry.
It is dinner time,
Harrison says quietly. I nod, acknowledging that our little interaction is over.
What do you say we all go out to eat? I just have this small bit to finish. 5 minutes tops.
Are you sure? I ask, turning slightly.
Of course. Let me finish and I can meet you someplace after I pick up Quinn.
I look back at Peyton, who stands defiantly. Maybe it's not me that needs a man in my life, but her. Harrison's very good with Elle. Maybe he can break down Peyton's wall. Okay. I take a last look at Harrison and walk toward Peyton. She doesn't look at me when I get to her. I kneel down and move her hair out of her face. She turns away. Every time she does this, it breaks my heart. We're going to go out to dinner with Harrison and Quinn.
I don't want to.
I close my eyes. Tough love. That's what she needs. Okay. Well, I think Jenna is home, so I'll call and see if she can babysit. I get up and walk away, leaving her outside. I'm not going to cave to her attitude. If she wants to ruin her night, she can. I close my eyes and take a deep breath before seeking out Elle. I know she'll be excited to go.
What are you doing?
Elle asks, almost laughing. I'm trying to calm down. I open my eyes to find my mini-me with her eyes closed.
What are you doing?
The same.
Why? What's wrong?
I'm hungry.
I can't help but laugh. Would you like to go out to dinner with Harrison and Quinn? Her eyes flash open with excitement, and my heart breaks because I so want Peyton to look at me like this.
Yes!
Okay, go change. I wait a few heartbeats before turning around and looking out the sliding door. Harrison and Peyton are talking, and for the first time since we've returned from Disney, she's smiling. And even though I can't tell him, he's just chipped away a little more at my heart. It may be a year since we lost the man we all love, but if I can give my girls one moment to smile today, does it matter that the man making them smile is causing ripples in my heart?
Chapter 19. Harrison. I flick on the lights in the room that houses 4225 West. Liam struck the jackpot with this house. The basement, which is now the studio, is completely decked out and soundproof. I'm not sure how much longer we'll be able to call this home. I can't imagine Josie wants to continue to have us here, especially late at night when she's trying to sleep. Even though she can't hear us jamming, I'm sure she wants her house to herself. It's been a month since we've worked on anything. We all needed a break after the tour mishaps. But work has to be done. We have songs that need to be written and recorded. We have a CD to release, with or without a tour. We can't let our fans down. That already happened when we had to cancel the rest of the tour. No more. 4225 West refuses to let this shit bring us down. I'm excited to be in the studio, to hold the wood of my drumsticks between my fingers, to pound out my aggressions and create magic. JD and Tyler will be here at any moment to get things moving again, but I'm not so sure about Caitlin. I stop in front of Caitlin's office and look into the dark room. We didn't discuss business the other night at dinner 2 weeks ago. Believe me, it was the last thing on my mind when she was sitting across from me. I was thinking more of how I could get my hands on her. I was imagining all the places that I wanted to kiss her. I wish I could say that I've seen her every night since, but I can't. When I go over to mow her lawn, she's not home. I've deduced that dinner was just a thank you, and not the fucking breakthrough I've been waiting for. It's going to happen. That's my mantra each morning in the shower. Say it 100 times and it's true, according to Quinn. What does Quinn know? More than me, I do know that. Caitlin wants to quit. She's coming in today to talk to us about her job. Liam, he's upset with her, but is trying to keep the professional side separate from the personal side. I'm not sure how he's going to do that. I can't. I want her around all the time. She excites me, makes me feel like I'm about to skydive. I could live off the adrenaline I feel from her alone. But I don't want to force this job on her if she's not comfortable. I'm just having a hard time buying she could mess up this big. Maybe I should have spoken to her at dinner the other night when the kids ran off to play, instead of discussing a drop-off schedule for school. I sit on my stool and spin around one time. I pick up my sticks, running my finger along the wood to check for damage. They look okay for now, but I'll need to have Caitlin order more if she's going to stay on. If not, I'll be doing some mundane bullshit by myself, which means it'll never get done. God, I need Caitlin in more ways than one. I just need to find a way to tell her this before it's too late. I feel for the foot pedals with my feet. Closing my eyes, I press down. One thump, then another, back and forth until my legs are warm. I flex my wrist before setting my sticks down on the drums. One hit, then two, over and over again until I'm jamming out. I go over the rhythm for the song I wrote about Caitlin, playing it over and over again. I don't know when we're going to record it, but I can't wait to play it live. That'll sound good. I stop playing when J.D. and Liam walk in. What was that? J.D. asks. Dude, what the fuck is on your neck? J.D. smirks and covers his neck with his hand. That was Tracy or Tanya. I can't remember. Something with a T, though, definitely. That's just wrong. Liam laughs. I shake my head and throw one of my sticks at both of them. They duck. My mouth drops. Caitlin is standing at the door holding her head. I fucking hit her with my stick. I jump up from my stool, my leg crashing into my set when I stumble by. I'm sorry, Katie. What did you call me? I stop when I get in front of her. Liam is laughing harder. I look at her and see nothing but pure hatred in her eyes. Her shoulders are heaving and she's breathing heavily, and not from the workout I just gave her. What?
I don't know, Harry. What did you say?
I have bull bags. J.D. snickers under his breath with more laughter from Liam. I look back at him. He has tears in his eyes. I rub my hand over my ball cap, pushing it back and forth over my hair. My name's Harrison, not Harry. I say as quietly as possible. When I was in school, the kids called me Harry, and I hated it because they attached other not-so-nice names to it. Caitlin puts her hands on her hips, but my eyes focus on the large red spot in the middle of her forehead.
My name is Caitlin. That's K-A-T-E-L-Y-N, and only one man is allowed to call me Katie, and you're not him, ever.
She pokes me in the chest hard and walks off. My hand rubs over the spot as I watch her hips sway back and forth. I lean forward and bang my head on the door jamb.
What the fuck was that?
I ask as I step back into our recording room. That, my friend, was Caitlin Cohen Powell giving you the what for.
Yeah, but why? Clearly she doesn't want to be called Katie,
J.D. adds for good measure. I roll my eyes at him and push him in the shoulder when I pass by. You're observant, J.D. That's not it, Liam says as he tunes his guitar. I sit down and push my foot pedal to get his attention. He looks at me. I throw my other drumstick at him. Fill me in, asshole. Only one man is allowed to call her Katie. I roll my eyes and shake my head. I can't freaking compete with a ghost. It's getting to be too much. Great. So I just made her cry because I brought up Mason? Score one for James. I hit two rim shots in the cymbal. Ba-dum-tsh. I guess the joke's on me. Not even Mason was allowed to call her Katie. Just his dad. I don't know how it started, when we were little, I think. But he's always called her Katie, and she refuses to let anyone else use that name. Duly noted. Have you met Mr. Powell yet? I look at Liam questioningly. Is he serious? Yeah. I don't think we're at that stage in our relationship. Ask me in 5 years when we've graduated to texting. JD starts laughing. Liam throws my stick back at me. I duck and cringe when it clanks against the wall. He's your ticket, moron. She won't date until he tells her it's okay. What the fuck? How do you know this? Liam shrugs. I heard her talking to Josie before she left for work this morning. Bastard, I mumble as he winks at me. All right, let's get this done. We need to figure shit out about Caitlin, Liam says as he shuts the door. You know my vote. I think she just needs a little guidance. We threw her to the sharks.
Bet you can't guess what I heard,
JD pipes up. No, I can't, JD. Well, shithead, what did you hear? Liam rolls his eyes. I can tell this is going to be a productive day in the studio.
Sam's been sniffing around. I saw her at the Roxy the other night. She was after a quick shag, but I don't do leftovers.
Liam's face turns red at the mention of Sam. I know what he's thinking. If she's around and trying to get with JD, that means she's trying to cause trouble. What else? Liam asks.
Devon was playing that night, and they definitely know each other.
Fucking hell, we both say at the same time. Paige, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Liam nods. So help me, if she set this shit up, I'm going to fucking kill her.
I wouldn't put it past her. She was trying to convince me to join a new band, but I told her to piss off and take her skanky ass somewhere else.
JD has such a way with words. I swear he could be a poet. I don't want to talk about Sam. I need to think, Liam says, as he flicks the light to let Tyler know we're ready to record. Although I'm not sure what we're working on. That song you wrote. Let's work on it, and we'll perform it tonight at Ralph's.
Ralph's? Yeah, you know the pub where Liam likes to take the missus?
I know what Ralph's is, JD. Sometimes I think he's still the same 19-year-old that asked us if he could jam with us one day. He walked right up to us after a gig and asked. He hasn't left yet. We have a gig tonight. Liam says this as if it's an everyday occurrence for us to set up at Ralph's. Whimsicality, yes, but not Ralph's.
Well, great. Thanks for letting me know.
I grab my headphones and put them on. JD and Liam do the same. I want to hide when Liam starts singing my lyrics, but the song is good, and he makes it sound even better. If we are performing at Ralph's tonight, we better be on our game. The last thing we need is for a local gig to turn out shitty.
5 minutes. That's all it took for me to get a hard-on from standing next to her, and all I did was touch her fingers. Her fingers, for Christ's sakes. How does that even compute in my brain? It's also a mistake following her up the stairs, but there was no way I was showing her what was going on in my shorts. She'd be mortified. I'd probably run out of the room like a sissy.
But watching her walk up the stairs is pure hell. The swoosh of her skirt, the fabric moving along her ass with each step she takes, makes my issue stronger. There's no way I can have dinner with anyone right now. The worst part, the guys will know, especially Liam. He purposely left me to deal with her. I'm the one who had to break the news that we were having a band meeting in his kitchen, and her presence is required.
He left me to deal with the sad face she made because he knows I'll do everything I can to make her smile. So what did I do? I touched her. And while that might not have made her smile, it did me because she didn't pull away. She allowed me to hold her hand before she stood up and straightened that tight-ass skirt of hers and walked out of her office. Of course, the guys have set up in the kitchen and not the dining room, where there's a nice long table for us to gather around. No, we are in the nook, crammed around some small table, making my current problem even more evident. Something needs to change, but I'm not sure what. Either my cold showers need to be longer, or I'm really going to have to make a play for her, because I'm not sure I can stand the pressure anymore. It's like a fucking tease show. I'll let you kiss me when I'm drunk. You can hold my hand when you're sober. We can make out during a scary ride. But everything else is a no when we are in our everyday lives. I hate not being able to touch her. I really want to touch her. Instant dread washes over me when I look at the empty seat. JD's in the corner trying not to laugh, and Liam is shoveling food into his mouth so he doesn't have to talk. I try to adjust myself discreetly and lower my plate so she can't see the obvious. I hate my band members. I have to squeeze by her, brushing her shoulder as I pass. There's a jolt of desire in my groin when I touch her. I bite my lip, trying to hold back a moan. Who the hell moans in this situation? I need some serious help. The guys and I have been doing a lot of thinking, Liam starts. We have? I want to ask. I remember this morning we started talking, but he needed to think. I wasn't aware a conclusion had been discussed. This ought to be interesting. Are you going to fire me? I think you should. I look at Caitlin questioningly. She shrugs and takes a bite of her salad. When we went out to dinner, she ate pizza like nobody's business. I've never seen a woman eat like that before. No, I'm not firing you. JD gave me some information that I need to investigate, so we're giving you another chance. Liam looks at his watch and nods. We need to be at Ralph's in an hour for a gig. Linda's going to watch the kids.
Is this up for debate?
Liam folds his hands, all dad-like. I want to laugh, but I know he's trying to be professional with her. It's Friday night. You need a night out. Case closed. Liam leaves, and is quickly followed by JD, leaving their half-eaten dinner sitting on the table. I can't leave because I'm stuck behind her, just not the way I want to be. You'll have fun.
I doubt it.
Come on, I say, taking a chance by moving her hair off her shoulder. I lean in, desperate to nuzzle her neck. I could get lost in her scent for days if she'd allow me.
I like drunk Caitlin.
With that, I get up and take long strides to the basement door. I need to get away from her before I do something to get slapped, although it might be worth it. I rush down the stairs and start packing my drums. They're a bitch, but I left my other set in Los Angeles because I honestly didn't think Quinn and I would like it here. I didn't want to move everything at once. I suppose when we go back for Liam and Josie's bachelor parties, I can rent a truck and bring them back. Hell, maybe if I'm lucky, Caitlin will want to do a road trip, and we can stop every few hundred miles and christen the sights. That would be some road trip.
Chapter 20. Caitlin. I don't want to be here, let alone dressed the way I am. I could kill Liam. I'm going to kill Josie. I should have left the minute Harrison walked out of the kitchen, made my escape. But no, I felt compelled to clean up their stupid mess. If I were home, no one would have come to look for me. I could have locked the door and buried myself into my sofa with a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Instead, I'm sitting in Ralph's wearing skin-tight jeans with an equally tight black tank that says, "I'm with the band." Seriously? Are we teenagers again? Sometimes I want to be. Go back to when it was just the four of us at the water tower or the drive-in movies. Those were the good old days. Getting ready for prom in my bathroom, and Josie using me as a cover so she could spend the night with Liam. I shudder, thinking of the twins doing half the shit that we did. But I know they will. Most of it is tradition, a rite of passage. I just won't have Mason around to scare the boys away. Of course, I couldn't leave once we walked in because Ralph was there to greet us. I haven't been back since 4225 West held a charity concert for me after Mason's birthday, and just one look from Ralph makes me feel guilty. I look around and take in the fans here to see the guys. When we were on tour, I only caught a few glimpses here and there, but being up front and center, my eyes are taking in a lot of skin. I don't know how Josie does this without getting jealous. I'm not sure I could. The way the guys are talked about, it makes me cringe and feel very sorry for them. Josie and I are sitting on the edge of the dance floor, both of us with a bucket of beers on our table, waiting for the guys. I know once they come on stage, she'll be up front because she's the biggest groupie of all. Not that I can blame her. She lost Liam once, and I know hell would have to freeze over before she gave him up again. "How do you do it?" I ask before pulling a bottle from the ice-cold bucket and popping the top. I tip my head back and let the cold amber liquid fill my mouth. I shouldn't drink, but Liam's right. It's Friday night and I have a babysitter. I should take advantage. Josie shrugs. "Some of it bothers me, but I trust him. I know that he's coming home to me at the end of the night and wouldn't touch anyone. He's got too much to lose." I marvel at her resilience. I'm not sure I would have forgiven him if I were in her shoes. I was there, holding her hair back when she was heaving the contents of her stomach day after day. She was a mess for a long time, but now she's glowing. She smiles every day, and it makes me want to have what she has. Knowing I did and lost it kills me. The crowd grows the closer it gets to showtime. From where we're sitting, we won't be able to see them very well. Not that I need to watch them, although this is my opportunity to check out Harrison without him looking. Yes, I admit it. He's starting to get to me. But it's not enough for me to throw in the towel. He's intriguing, and I have a feeling there's more to him than a drummer in a rock band. I'm just not sure I'm the right person to figure out who he is exactly. I don't have anything to offer him. I'm afraid I'm not enough for someone like him. The lights dim and the fans start screaming. There's excitement in the air. I can feel it coursing through me. Today I can be a fan without having to make sure the guys are taken care of. Ralph will do that tonight. Josie stands on her chair and whistles as Liam takes the stage.
"Hey, baby,"
he says into the microphone, making all the women go nuts. Too bad he's only talking to her. I shake my head and start laughing. It's like those two were never apart. I decide to stand on my chair, too, or I won't be able to see. I'm praying no one will bump into me. The last thing I need to do is a table dive. Jimmy comes out next and instantly starts flirting with some of the women in the front row. He holds one of their hands and leans down to their ear. Who knows what he's saying, probably giving her his number. I'm honestly surprised that he's not more of a PR nightmare. Some days he acts like a family man, and the next, he's the man-whore of the group. Harrison comes on stage last. He's switched from a beanie to a baseball cap that he's wearing backward. I remember very clearly the last time I saw his hat like that. I hold my breath when he looks out into the crowd. Is he looking for me? Half of me wants him to, but the other half wills him to find someone that can give him what he wants. Harrison makes a few adjustments before he spins his sticks in between his fingers. Then he claps them together and counts to four. I look over at Josie, who is nodding her head and yelling at Liam. The song is new, something I've never heard before. Josie seems to know the lyrics because she's singing right along. My heart aches for love with Liam and Josie. He has this talent and is able to write songs about her. I can't even make it a day without thinking about what Mason's voice sounded like and how I'll never hear the words, "I love you," said to me again. And here's my best friend, being sung to like it's the last thing he'll ever do for her. The words of the song are touching, about how his heart trumped his mind and that he should have known better. I move to the beat of the song, swaying back and forth as I watch Harrison pound on the drums. I can't tell if he's looking out to the crowd or not. I wish he would.
Even just for a moment. Maybe I'd wave and he'd smile. Liam sings about love being a sure thing, and I wish things were that simple. Moving on should be simple. Picking up the pieces and opening a new door to my life should be easy. So why isn't it? Why am I second-guessing everything? I sit down and grab another beer. I need to drown my sorrows, or at least keep the voices out of my head. I can't love another man. I just can't. For each song the guys play, I drink at least two beers. Too much talk about broken hearts, love, sex, and life. Ralph refills the bucket, and Josie eyes me. I shouldn't have come. Listening to them sing is far different from being backstage and working for them. I should be working. That's what I should be doing. Not sitting here feeling sorry for myself. The guys play a few more songs before taking a break. The crowd disperses. I look on as the chick from earlier paws all over Jimmy. He loves it, though. So I guess until he finds the right one, he'll test them all. Men. Josie sits down next to me, her face red and sweaty from dancing. She pulls out a beer and holds it against her head. I lean into her, my head resting on her shoulder. I love you. My voice is probably too low for her to hear me. Are you drunk? I look at the bottle caps lined up and nod. You're lucky. You know that? I know. But why do you think so? She asks as she pops the top and takes a drink. He writes songs about you. That new one? I don't know. It made me think. Are you talking about the first song they played? I lift my head a bit too fast. The room spins. Josie nudges my shoulder. When I look at her, she's grinning from ear to ear. Liam didn't write that song, she says, laughing. Harrison did. Why would he write a song like that? I ask, confused. Josie raises her bottle to her lips and drinks. That boy has a crush. He does? On who? My heart aches a little, knowing he's found someone. I know I kept blowing him off, but I didn't expect him to give up so soon and move on. Caitlin, are you serious? Yes. I push out of my thick tongue. I don't want to cry, but my feelings are hurt. Before Josie can answer me, the guys are sitting at our table. Well, Liam and Harrison are. Aren't you going to play some more?
No. Short set tonight.
Liam says before he pulls Josie close to him. She says something to him. He eyes me and Harrison and starts laughing. That's my cue. I'm not going to watch them act like this, and I'm sure Harrison wants to hang out with his new girlfriend. Well, I'm out of here, I say, pushing my chair back. She's drunk, Josie blurts out. I roll my eyes and pull out my phone. Harrison leans back, eyeing me up and down. I'll call a cab. I shake my phone in front of them.
Why are you leaving?
Liam asks.
It's still early.
I wave my hand at him. Harrison doesn't want me here. Harrison looks up, his eyes sharp.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I shrug and take the last sip of my beer, emptying the bottle. I wave and turn away from them, taking cautious steps toward the door. When I'm outside, I lean up against the wall, letting the cold night wash over me. I'm so stupid to think someone like Harrison would be interested in me. I may be drunk, but I remember the dinner we shared not so long ago. It was nice being there with him and the kids. No expectations. Just friends. Just when I think I can take that step to be more to him, he finds someone else. I roughly wipe tears away from my cheeks and push off the wall. I need to walk. I need to calm down and sober up before going home. This is the second time I've gotten drunk because of him and my stupid feelings. I can't do it anymore.
Where are you going?
He pulls my hand. I turn and fall into him. He catches me, his hand cupping my face. He gently lifts my face.
Why the tears?
I shrug and look down. I don't want him to see my tear-streaked face. I'm a sloppy drunk, Harrison chuckles.
Oh, I don't know about that. I happen to enjoy drunk Caitlin.
She's stupid.
She's honest and lets her feelings show.
I'm confused.
That makes two of us,
he says as he lifts my face again and looks at me, his eyes going back and forth. You have beautiful eyes.
Everything about you is beautiful.
I step forward and rest my forehead on his chest. He sets his arm around my neck, holding me to him.
Why did you say I didn't want you here?
He asks. I was hoping he'd forget, but apparently I haven't been missing from the table that long. I don't know. Josie told me you wrote that song.
Yeah, so?
So I thought you'd want to spend time with her, I whisper. I pull back so I can make a quick escape when he tells his plans to start seeing his crush.
I am spending time with her.
I look up immediately to find him smiling down at me.
Come on. I'll take you home.
Harrison leads me into the parking lot. He doesn't say anything to make me uncomfortable with the situation. I'm not sure how to take what he said, but I do know I'm listening, loud and clear. The song that Liam sang tonight is about me, and Harrison wrote it. I've never had a song written about me before, and that alone makes me feel loved and nervous all in one. I don't know what my response should be, but I know what it's going to be. I can't continue to fight my feelings. It's taking far too much effort on my part to deny what my body and heart are telling me. This man, the one with his arm around me protectively, has dealt with my bullshit, my hot and cold reactions to him, and most importantly, treats my children with the utmost respect. I'd be a fool to walk away from something that could be an eye-opening experience. I just need to find the words to tell him.
Chapter 21. Harrison. The hot water beats down my neck and back. I roll my head from side to side, hoping to loosen the muscles. I think I'm going to start paying someone to mow my own lawn, because mowing two twice a week, plus band practice, is starting to take its toll. Either that or my age is finally catching up with me. I can't give up mowing Caitlin's yard. It's worth it just to see her bend over her flower bed. I have to say, she has the finest roses in Beaumont. Not that I'm looking at any other roses, but the preening she's been doing is starting to show. I turn the water on hotter and work my muscles. Maybe I need to work out or play the drums more. I definitely need to bring my other set back from Los Angeles when we go. I want to ask Caitlin if she'd like to drive back with me, but I haven't found the right moment. That would be a huge step in any direction, and while I know I'm ready, I'm not sure she is. But she's getting there. I can feel it. Last night was interesting. I've never run after a woman before, but seeing Caitlin about to cry and question whether I wanted her there not only confused me, but almost had me standing on the stage, proclaiming my undying affection for her. Josie told me that she spilled on the song we played, but did so in an offhanded way because she didn't want to come right out and say it. When I found Caitlin outside, I wanted to hold her in my arms and show her how much she means to me. Last night, I saw something in her eyes, in the way she looked at me. I can only hope my instinct is right because, if it is, I think I'll be seeing her a bit more, especially away from the studio. I'm going to follow my intuition on this one, and the next time I see her, I'm going to tell her. I don't know what, but I'll say something to her. Maybe that will open her eyes. I'll let her into my world if she'll give me one little glimpse of hers. That's all I ask for. The water turns cold, effectively shutting off my massage technique. I should make an appointment with a chiropractor or a masseuse. Hell, maybe I can convince Caitlin to put her hands all over my body. That would be enough for me to relax most of my muscles. I turn off the water and pull the shower curtain back. I step out onto Quinn's white mat that turns red when it's wet. It makes you look like you're bleeding. He likes it. Thinks it's funny to scare people with. I put my towel over my head and rub my hands back and forth to dry my hair. When the door swings open, I peek through the small opening of my towel. Caitlin is staring back at me, her mouth dropping open as her eyes travel down my very wet and naked body. Oh, crap! She says, covering her mouth, but not her eyes. She's totally checking me out, and I'd be an idiot to say it's not turning me on. I take my time,
as I step into my sweatpants that no longer tie and hang low on my waist. Yeah, I know what I'm doing. It's time to play dirty. I start laughing.
I'm sorry.
Caitlin shakes her head, breaking eye contact with me.
I spilled my coffee, and Quinn said you were in the shower.
So you just had to come in and see for yourself?
No, upstairs.
I step forward, pulling her slightly so I can shut the door and lock it. I turn up the volume on my MP3 player so the kids can't hear us talk. My shower is being remodeled, so I had to use Quinn's.
Makes sense.
Why didn't you run out of here when you saw me? I ask, just loud enough for her to hear me.
I don't know,
she whispers, her eyes penetrating into mine. I can't take it anymore. I lean back against the counter and pull her between my legs. Her hands move up my chest, her fingers coming dangerously close to my nipple ring. I won't have much resolve left if she was to brush her fingertips over it. I close my eyes, relishing in the fact that she's touching me willingly. Her hands roam up my neck and into my hair. I know what's coming next, and this time, I'm not stopping her. I can't. I need this from her. My towel falls down behind me as she works her fingers in and out of my hair.
I've been wanting to see you like this for a long time.
I know.
Why do you keep yourself covered from me?
I open my eyes to find her incredibly close. It won't take anything for me to capture her lips. Because I want you to see me for who I am on the inside and not the out. It's my security.
I'm trying.
Those two words are enough for me. I grip her hips and pull her to me. Our lips meet, and this time there's no hesitation. She wants this as much as I do. Her fingers tug at my hair, giving me a nice image of what she'll be like when I can really explore her. Her mouth leaves mine, trailing kisses down my jaw to my ear. She rubs against my cock, eliciting a nice long moan from me. I need to be in control here, and right now, I'm not. I want to pick her up and wrap her fine legs around my waist and take her. It'd be quick and dirty, but so worth being buried in her. Caitlin, I say huskily, as she makes her way back to my mouth. I'm not complaining. This is more than I thought I'd get. But shit, if she doesn't stop, I'm going to be taking another shower.
Sorry,
she says. She tries to pull away, but I don't let up my hold on her. I don't want her to move. Don't be sorry. I'm not, unless you're going to tell me this was a mistake. Caitlin looks down. My heart drops. Fucking unbelievable. I close my eyes and mentally kick my own ass for being so stupid.
I'm not going to say that.
My eyes flick open to find her smiling. She has one hand on my shoulder, the other still playing with hair.
No?
What are you going to say?
That I'm trying, Harrison. It's not going to be easy, and I'll likely pull away or shut myself off. But after last night, the song and what you said in the parking lot, I owe it to myself and to you to try. I want to try.
You think we have something?
Yeah, I do. I don't know what, but the way I feel when I'm around you, the way you hold me when you kiss me, it's different and unexpected. I can't wrap my mind around it, but I think about you all the time. And even though I tell myself no, I'm finding it harder and harder to stay away from you.
I capture her lips with mine. I cup her face and hold her to me. If that's all I'm getting for now, I'll take it. My tongue moves against hers in slow movements. Her hands drop to my sides, gripping the waistband of my sweats. If I stand, guaranteed they won't fall down. They're tempted by the freaking boner I have for her now. I try to move her away from the offender, but she's not budging. She can feel how much I want her.
I'm not in any hurry to end this kiss. I want to savor every moment so I can dream about her later. I pull away first, reluctantly. I rest my forehead against hers and kiss her nose. Want to go grab some lunch after you clean up that coffee mess? She looks down at her shirt, without making me let her go. Her white shirt has a nice brown stain now. I have a shirt you can wear, I offer excitedly. Seeing her in one of my shirts will no doubt send me over the edge, and back into the shower.
Can we go back to my house so I can change?
Of course. Now that she's let me kiss her, and hasn't pulled away and changed her mind, I want to do it more. I take a chance and lean in. She smiles. I smile.
Mommy?
Her smile fades all too quickly for my liking, but I get it. I move away from her, picking up my t-shirt and putting it on. She watches me dress. I want to tell her that she's seen me naked, and it's only fair that I see her too. But I have a feeling that wall would go right up and I'd be shut out again. So I bite my tongue and wait for drunken Caitlin to return. She turns the lock and opens the door to a very angry Peyton. She's standing there, in a dark blue football jersey, with her hands on her hips.
What are you doing? Talking?
With our lips, I want to add, but bite back my childish comment. The kids don't need to know what we were doing in the bathroom.
About what? Adult stuff.
Peyton raises her eyebrow, and all I can think is that Caitlin has got a tough road ahead of her. Peyton is definitely calling the shots right now, and that's not good.
We were talking about what you, Elle, and Quinn need for Christmas, so when we meet Santa, we can give him the appropriate list.
Peyton's mouth drops open, and her eyes light up. Caitlin looks at me. I shrug. It used to work with Quinn when he'd get moody.
Elle, Mommy is making the Christmas list!
Peyton yells as she stalks back down the hall. Nice save.
Whatever works. I'm going to get changed.
I cup her cheek and let my hand linger there for a heartbeat or two. She's going to have to give me some guidelines because I don't want to overstep the boundaries that are in place. I know I won't touch her in front of the kids, but now that I've had uninterrupted minutes and feel pretty confident that she's not running anytime soon, I'm not sure if I'll be able to keep my hands to myself when she's near. I need to find a resolve. I keep my hands buried deep in my pockets as I walk side by side next to Caitlin. We stay back while the kids run up ahead of us. Her arm brushes mine, making me wonder if she wants to hold my hand. And as much as I want that, I don't want to put her in a position of being questioned. She has to know there isn't a woman alive that can hold a candle to her. She has every ounce of my attention, and more. The kids are jumping up and down when we enter the Fun Palace. This place is a mecca for noise, and a money-sucking machine. I know Quinn likes this place. He likes to play the games and collect tickets to buy some ridiculous toy that only lasts a few days. Both girls look excited, and I imagine this is some type of relief for them. To be in a kid environment with no stress. The cashier smiles brightly when we step forward. I feel Caitlin step back into me. I want to wrap my arms around her and rest my head on hers, but I don't. If she needs to be close to me, if she needs to assert herself, she's more than welcome. I stand behind her and read the menu board. What kind of pizza do you want? She turns slightly and looks at me over her shoulder. I wink at her, loving this change. God, how bad do I want to kiss her right now? The ache is building, more so now that I know she's willing to try.
I like mostly everything, but no onions.
Oh, yeah? Are you planning on kissing someone later?
Please say yes, and that his name is Harrison James.
She rolls her eyes and smiles. Pepperoni?
That's fine. The girls like cheese.
I nod. I figured as much.
Can I help you?
The cashier asks loudly, in her sugary-pitched teenage voice, when I step forward. I suppose she has to speak loudly over the noise in this place. We'll have one large cheese,
One large pepperoni and 5 sodas.
And what would you like for tokens?
She hands me a list. My eyes just about bug out of my head when I see the prices. If my life as a drummer ever ends,